Hey there, special educator. Before we dive into today's episode, I have something exciting to share with you. If you've ever struggled with writing impact statements for your IEPs, and let's be honest here, what special educator hasn't found themselves at some point staring at a blank box and a blinking cursor wondering what in the world to type? My free guide is just what you need to get those brain juices flowing. Introducing Impact Statement Mastery, your step-by-step guide to writing personalized IEPs. This free guide is designed to help you craft impactful, personalized statements with ease. You'll get expert tips and strategies, easy-to-follow formats, and real-life examples that bring theory to life. It's absolutely free and a must-have for every special education teacher and related service provider. To get your copy, just visit www.spedprepacademy.com/impactstatements or check the link in the episode description. Now let's get started with today's episode.
You're listening to the Sped Prep Academy podcast. Your host, Jennifer Hofferberg, is an award-winning veteran special educator who shares her experience, knowledge, and passion to help other special educators survive and thrive in this profession. Join her and other guests as they share tips and tricks of the trade for the ever-crazy, completely overwhelming, laugh-so-you-don't-cry profession of being a special education teacher.
Hey there, and welcome to the very last episode for 2023. Can you believe that the end of the year is almost here and we are creeping up on 4 years of the Sped Prep Academy podcast? It just seems crazy to me that this little idea of creating a podcast during COVID is still going strong almost 4 years later. So in today's episode, I want to provide you with some questions to help you reflect on your position as a special education teacher. I've always been a strong advocate for self-reflection because I feel it's where we can find the most growth. And I love the Maya Angelou quote that says, "Do the best you can until you know better. Then when you know better, do better." I even have this poster hanging in my office. And that's the mentality I have when working with teachers. They don't know what they don't know, and it's the mentality I have with myself. When we don't know what we don't know, it isn't possible to improve. But when we know what we don't know, then we can grow into an amazing educator by reflecting and improving. But before I get to the 7 questions, I want to reflect a little bit for myself. Last December, I made a goal to have a co-host one time a month, and I made that happen with Paul in our SPED Teacher Small Talk episodes. And I feel like those were a hit after looking at the download numbers, so I want to continue that this year, but we are going to let you ask us questions instead of spinning the spinner and getting something random. We really want to be helping you where you are struggling. So there will be a link in the show notes where you can go and type in your questions. And it's not a one and done. You can go back and ask a question at any time, and we'll answer as many questions as we can on air in about a 30-minute episode. So look for that link. I've also been reflecting on my TPT store, which has grown substantially this past year, and I attribute that to knowing where teachers are struggling and filling a need through my impact statement product line. I've learned that many teachers really have no idea what to put in the impact statement section of the IEPs, and by providing them with examples and sentence stems, I have helped them to become more successful in their roles. So if you are one of the teachers who has purchased any piece of the impact statement product line, thank you so much for supporting my small business, but better yet, thank you for wanting to grow and improve in that area. If you haven't looked into this yet, I urge you to check it out. There are very small pieces like rings of cards that you can hook next to your computer to help you when you're writing IEPs, and there are PDFs to explain the why and the how of writing impact statements, all the way to the giant bundle of examples, sentence stems, and resource cards that are broken down by disability area and subject area. I actually have a freebie in my store that I'll link in the show notes as well, so you can check it out risk-free and see if it's something you need in your life. And then lastly, I want to reflect on my day-to-day job, which is supporting special education teachers as an instructional coach. I wish every district provided instructional coaches to their special education staff. I have had so many teachers tell me they don't know how anyone ever did this job without having a coach, and that makes me feel so good because I love teaching. I love helping teachers get stronger in their positions, become more knowledgeable, and grow more confidence in themselves. I think that I've always been destined for this position because it's where my heart's been for a long time. I just want to help teachers learn what they don't know. My daughter called the other day and said, "Mom, we have 2 instructional coaches and they want to meet with me." And I said, "Okay." And she said, "Well, what if they don't think I'm doing a good job?" And I was like, "Honey, they are there to help you." And now she just loves them and they do help her immensely. And she can ask them any question and they're there to support her. I'm so thankful that she has that as a brand new teacher. And I wish everyone could have a coach. If you don't have that position in your district, I urge you to start asking why, especially if there are instructional coaches for general education teachers, which has become pretty popular. Just start talking to different people and ask why there isn't a special education coach. or maybe it's you. If you've been in the district for quite a while and you are very knowledgeable about all of the details of running a special education department in your district, how to complete paperwork, and have a growth mindset, this might be the next move for you. So if that's not a position that's already been created, go talk to somebody and see about it. And that's exactly what happened in my district. I was talking to the special education assistant director at that time, and I was like, why don't we have a coach? All of the general education teachers have an instructional coach. And he was like, you know, that's a good question. And then one day out of the blue, he called and said, well, it's going to the board. Are you going to apply if it's approved? And I guess the rest was history. So those are my three reflections about how I feel the last year has gone. And as you can see, I have some things that I'm proud of and some things I want to grow and some things that I want to modify just a little bit. So let's get to you. I want you to reflect on your job and your skills, because a new year is always about reflecting on the last year and moving forward to know more things and do a better job. I want to help you make better decisions and make better choices in your career through reflecting on your answers to these seven questions. The first one is, do you intentionally set up your annual meetings in advance to A, give yourself time to write a solid IEP, and B, so you don't have to worry about getting too close to that IEP expiration date? As special education teachers, we have a 10-day window in order to provide parents with sufficient notice before a meeting. But if you are waiting to schedule that meeting right at the 10-day mark, you are doing a disservice to yourself. There's a lot to get done once you schedule that meeting. You need to get input from stakeholders, collect data, plan new goals, and if you only have 10 days, your IEPs are going to end up being not very solid. So instead, give yourself about 30 days. For example, if your meeting is due December 5th, contact the parents, your admin, and your related service providers around the 1st of November and set up your meeting towards the end of November. That will give you enough time to draft a really strong IEP, not make you feel rushed doing it, and if for whatever reason someone needs to change the date, you still have time before that December 5th deadline. Question number two is, when you are setting up those meetings, are you informing the general education teachers about the meeting at the same time and sending out a calendar invite? If not, please do this. You need to be giving that general education teacher advanced notice. Don't just tell them the day before that they have an IEP meeting. They need to know in advance. And if you're going to give them those input forms, that's a good way to let them know that, hey, Johnny has an IEP coming up. And they need a calendar invite because they are busy too, and they need reminders. And if the meeting is at a time that is not their plan time, they need to be able to plan for a substitute or a cover for the rest of their class. So be conscientious about that. Question three is, are you remembering to include all related service providers in the scheduling process and inviting a translator to the meeting if needed? Those related service providers might have a smaller part within your IEP, but they need to agree to the meeting time and what works for their schedules. They might work at different buildings throughout the district and could have a different meeting at that time or have another reason why your proposed time won't work. So make sure you're informing them ahead of time. They also might have some testing that they want to do and will need time to decide what goals they want to propose. So giving them advance notice is the professional thing to do. And if you need that translator, don't wait till the last minute to try to find somebody. Make sure that they are aware that they are going to be coming to a meeting, and give them a copy of that draft IEP in advance so that they know what they're going to be interpreting. Question number four is, do you routinely get input from all parties before the meeting? Now, this input from parents, general ed teachers, and students can be obtained either digitally, paper pencil, or in person. The IEP should be very well developed before you go into that meeting. Yes, it's a draft and you can still make changes. You can cross things out. You can write things in. It is a working document, but you should go into the meeting with a framework, and that framework should, no, not even should, it must include input from all parties. If you don't have input from the parents, or you wait until the meeting to get that input and they throw out a new strategy they want you to try, or a new curriculum change, or different services they want to propose, you don't have time to research that. You don't have time to think about the positives or the negatives. You don't have time to think about the true need for those services. You're just put on the spot, and that's not a fun place to be. And then putting the parent on the spot, asking them about the strengths and weaknesses of the child and things that they want, that doesn't give them much time to think about it either. So make sure you're doing that ahead of time. Send home those input forms. And with general education teachers, I can't tell you how many meetings I've been in when a gen ed teacher just sits there and says that they don't have any concerns. By gosh, yes, you do. We just had a full-blown conversation last week about Johnny's lack of progress, and you gave some really great tips about what we should try. But to be put on the spot in a formal meeting with an administrator and parents and point blank asked what their concerns are, well, that's not fair. You need to be giving them input forms to gather data on the strengths they see in their classrooms, the weaknesses they see, and the suggestions for accommodations or modifications that would help that child. And then give them a copy of that form they filled out so that they have something to look off of instead of trying to recall everything they wrote from memory. And then the piece that we most often miss is the students. That IEP is written for that student, and if you are leaving them out of the conversation, you are leaving out the most important person. You have to get their input. Ask them what they want to be when they grow up. Ask them what their favorite subject is and what their least favorite thing to do is. Ask them about hobbies, sports, dislikes, what the teacher does that makes them feel good and what their teacher does that makes them feel bad. Ask about friends and PE. Really, all you have to do is have a conversation with a child and summarize that information into the appropriate sections of the IEP. And if you're thinking, well, I work with young students, so I can't get their input, or I work with students who have intellectual disabilities, so I can't get their input, I promise you, if you put in just a little bit of effort, you can find a way to get this information. You can use picture inventories and observations to see what a child prefers and write that information into the IEP. Question number 5, are you using your data to identify strengths, needs, and current performance to develop strong PLAF statements? And your data is going to look different in every district. It could be MAP, iReady, iStation, MClass from Amplify, FastBridge. It could be informal assessments or worksheets that you give to the students to see what they can and cannot do. I've been in so many IEP meetings where I've seen something that says, Johnny has a strength in math. Or on the needs section, it says, Johnny needs help with reading. Or on the current performance, it says, Johnny has a 298 on his MAP assessment. What information does that give to the team about what Johnny can actually do, what he can't do, and where he needs help? That type of information doesn't help anyone. I really want to challenge you to dig into that data and pump up your strengths, your needs, and your current performance sections. Even if you don't think that kid has many strengths, I guarantee you, you can find something. For example, Johnny knows where the manipulatives are for math and can select a manipulative to help him solve addition problems. You can stretch and find some strengths to put in there. Do you know how heartbreaking it would be for a parent to come into a meeting when you have one strength listed and then a whole long list of deficits? Those parents know that their child struggles. They know they have deficits. They want to hear about what their child can do. And then your needs section needs to be just that, needs. What does Johnny need to be successful? He needs explicit small group instruction to learn how to add and subtract with regrouping. Johnny needs support in the general education classroom to ensure he is staying on task. Johnny needs to have the number of questions on a worksheet cut in half because he works slowly. What is the data telling you that the child needs? And then in the current performance section, summarize all that data. Tell what the data means. Parents don't understand just a number. So look into the data and get some qualifiers and some good explanations of what that data is saying about the student. Question number 6, am I following the expectation of turning in paperwork and closing out an IEP like I'm supposed to be? Are you being a professional within your job is basically what I'm asking you. You have expectations for your students. You have expectations for the general education teachers you work with. You have expectations for your paraprofessionals. Well, your admin, your directors, your coordinators, they have expectations for you. Are you following the procedures your district or school has put into place to turn in your work on time and in the manner asked? If not, I think it's important to reflect on why not. What's keeping you from getting your stuff done? Sometimes when we figure out why something isn't happening, we can easily figure out a way to make sure that it does happen. And question number 7, are you evaluating the need for accommodations and modifications for a student instead of just copying and pasting from one IEP to the next? Are you just putting the same accommodations on every student's IEP? Or you have a list of the most common accommodations and you're choosing from a bank? Or are you truly considering if there is a true need for that child to have that accommodation? Because what a kid needs in first grade isn't what he's going to need in fifth grade. And what he needs in fifth grade most likely isn't what he needs in middle school or high school. And when you carry them over from year to year to year, one of two things can happen. Either they are not being used and they are just words on a paper, or they are being used and they don't need to be. Our job as special educators is to set kids up for success, to basically try to work ourselves out of a job. We want them to be as independent as possible and learn to take accountability for their learning and advocate for themselves. And so if we keep providing them with accommodations that they don't really need, we are going to fail in doing that. So make sure that accommodations or modifications are truly needed. Okay, so now that we've gone through the 7 questions, I want you to make some goals for yourself. Think about 3 areas that you are doing really, really well and take your arm and pat yourself on the back. And then write down 3 things that you want to improve on. Now that you know better, you can do better. You can intentionally go back to school after the holidays and put these three things into action to become a stronger educator. Self-reflection is an amazing tool that can help you grow. And before we go, I want to remind you to get signed up for the free SPED Summit that's being held January 15th through February 14th. You can go to spedsummit.com to sign up, and all of the sessions are digital, so you can watch them at any time at your convenience. This type of professional development is what's best for special educators because it's truly applicable to what you're doing on a day-to-day basis. Instead of going to PD that's provided by your district that doesn't really apply to you, these sessions will give you that instruction and support that you need. So again, go to spedsummit.com to get signed up. Thanks for sticking with me until the end. I can tell that you are just as dedicated to the field of special education as I am. If you liked what you heard today, I'd love it if you'd head over to spedprepacademy.com/podcast to check out the show notes and sign up to be notified each time a new episode airs. Go out and have an amazing day, and I'll catch you on the next episode.